Oh, a little Bob Marley here. Hysteria. 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 Isn't that what he says?
I think it's
Hysteria. Okay, let's see what he really says. Okay, let's skip ahead here.
I think he said, "I'm seeing ya."
Oh, you don't know what he says? Okay, let's listen. Here we go. Can you hear what he's saying?
It just sounds like Hysteria. Mysterious?
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one, so... Oh, and there's Def Leppard right there rubbing it in. I don't think we needed Def Leppard rubbing it in, but that's great. So, okay, so I had no idea. So you don't know those lyrics either, huh, Jim?
Isn't there, it was a disease, wasn't it? Listeria? That Listeria disease?
That was actually...
Is that what it was?
Okay, well, so here's the story. My girlfriend put on the... and everybody should watch it. I think it's on Amazon Prime, is the Bob Marley documentary. And it's excellent. And so now she's been playing Bob Marley 24/7, and she's been putting it up on the Amazon Music, which puts the lyrics up, giant lyrics up on your TV screen. And that is Stir It Up. That was one of his first hits. I think that was like basically his first hit.
So oh, Stir It Up?
It's Stir It Up, Little Baby, but for years and I'm embarrassed to say this, decades, I thought it was Hysteria. So, but you didn't know it either.
I guess I didn't know either what the hell that was. I would just hum it when that came on.
But it's funny because I think everybody gets Bob Marley lyrics wrong because so it's like so you think it's "Don't you worry about a thing, little baby," or what is it? "Everything's gonna be all right." So that sounds right, right?
But yep, that sounds right.
He never says "you." He says "Don't worry about a thing." And then other song, he never really says "you" in songs. In the other songs where he says "stand up for you," you think he says "stand up for your rights." He says "jah," J-A-H, "stand up for your rights."
Oh, what's your bad self? Okay.
So he never really says "you're" in a or "you" in a song, really. So, so this is the 70s versus 80s. This is the podcast that reminds you back in the days when you got song lyrics right wrong. You could not run to Google and get them right, so you could say them wrong for years, and in my case, decades there, so.
me too. Like, for example, Van Halen had that song Enema. Remember that song Enema by Van Halen? Enema! Enema! That's what he said, right? Enema?
I think so. I think you're right there, Jim.
We might need to look, if there's a listener who knows.
And speaking of listeners, that the whole reason we're bringing up this wrong song lyric is it's going to be a new segment on our show. But we need you, the listener, to go to our Facebook page, the 70s versus the 80s. Tell us what song lyrics you always got wrong. And then you're going to come on the show and we're going to kind of make fun of you like we just made fun of myself there. Or we'll just kind of tell the funny story about how you got the song lyrics wrong. So
we were going to... We had the first idea was we had $100,000 we were going to give away to whoever called in, and then we decided let's do better than that. Let's have them on the show. So
yeah,
instead of money, you're coming on the show, and you can thank Mike for that idea. That was his idea. I fought it.
So yeah, so let's hear it on direct message us on Facebook, or just message us on Facebook. Give us your wrong song lyrics. And you could be on the show. And if we don't pick you right away, you know, we might get you on the next show. So, Jim, we have a big
And
show to. Oh, go ahead,
okay,
Jim.
Mike, I'm sorry, excuse me. I was just going to say, as a general rule, if you're a listener and you pick up something on the show that you want to comment on, we welcome that, right? I mean, we're doing that, right? They can write in or leave a comment, right?
Yeah, I think right now Facebook's the easiest way to reach us. I mean, you can email us too, but I think it's just easier to pop on Facebook and message us. And yeah, we.
One of my family members, and I can't name her, but I see, oh, there's a bad moon on the rise, the CCR song. There's a bad moon on the rise. I see, you know that song?
Yeah.
She thought it was, instead of there's a bad moon on the rise, she thought it was there's the bathroom on the right.
I've heard other people say that one, that same thing. And then I think the most famous one in history is Jimi Hendrix, "Excuse Me While I Kiss the Sky." A lot of people heard it as "I kiss the guy, kiss this guy."
Or I heard your thigh. Excuse me while I kiss your thigh or something like that, I heard. But literally there's, billions of these because, you got every song ever written, probably somebody had a screwed up lyric in it. So comment in on Facebook like Mike said, we're gonna have fun with that one.
Okay, and we got a big show today. We got our first segment here. We're going to do a 70s icon versus an 80s icon, kind of. We're going to kind of twist it a little bit for the first show. And then later, we're going to have our number one researcher, Brian Malika, join us. And the three of us are going to pick some of our favorite TV themes. We pick five each, I believe. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And then that's also something we'll probably do on other shows. We're thinking about doing cop themes and. What other themes were we going to do? Soap opera? I don't know what we could do, but
Yeah, soap opera
game show.
and cop shows, and there's hospital shows. Really, our show right now is so young that we're probably still open to ideas. I don't know about you. You can edit that out if I'm wrong, but if somebody has a good idea, write it in.
Definitely, definitely. So, should we get right into Evel Knievel versus Super Dave Osborne? I can't say his name.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
A lot of interesting trivia with Super Dave, and there's a big, huge one that you can go ahead and spill the beans on the huge
You
one
say
about.
what it is, because I bet you I know what it is.
Super Dave's brother
Yes.
is
And it's
Albert
his
Brooks.
Albert Brooks, and it's his younger brother. I thought Albert was the older one.
No, and here's the interesting thing is that their birth name, Super Dave Osborne, his real name at birth, their last name is Einstein. So Albert Einstein is really his name.
Oh, that's
And
crazy.
it's just kind of funny that, that's what he changed it to, Brooks. I don't know where that name came from, but
Yeah.
anyway.
So, okay, so I don't know if everyone's, do you think everyone's familiar with Super Dave Osborne? I think he might be a little obscure for some people.
Probably obscure, but definitely worth, looking up. I mean, Letterman loved the guy, and Johnny Carson and everybody else loved the guy.
And he was so funny because he would come in and he was so deadpan, serious, and optimistic about how his stunt was going to work. And then of course it would just end terribly, and it always didn't. It seems like every single one ended with a mannequin dressed in his Super Dave Osborne outfit, and it would
Yeah,
always
and
get
the
smoked.
funny thing was that there would be like all of this pain applied to the man by a wake or crash, and he would be like the voiceover would be like, "Oh God, that hurt! Oh my God, that's gonna there's definitely gonna be a red mark there," and it would be like his body would be like flattened. He would have those deadpan comments that he overdubbed, and it was meant to sound like he had a microphone on, type of thing. But
Yeah.
they would like like those old the old cars, and they smash that magnet from above or whatever,
Yeah.
and they would smash it down on him, and you'd see like parts of his body, mannequin body, like come out the doors and windows, and he'd be like, "Oh, that came down a little early. That came out a little early." So.
Yeah, and I was actually on YouTube. They have one called His First Ever Stunt, and that one's a little different. He's like, yeah, he comes out dressed still like Evel Knievel, like he always did. But he's like, I'm gonna get in this little metal cart, and we're gonna go down this track. And then they're talking about, and he's like, I took all the safety precautions, blah blah blah. So he gets in it, and it's a ro and all these people, these little kids get in behind him. It's a roller coaster. He's screaming the whole time. All the kids are calm, and he's just screaming, "I'm gonna die! I'm gonna die!" So that one was a little different, but that was his first ever one. So it's kind of weird to see how it started.
Deadpan, though, is what he made his career on, and most people who know Super Dave know that he has sadly left us. But he, like for example, if you were a fan of that, what's that Larry David show?
Curb Your Enthusiasm. I love it.
Yeah, he was a guest star on there, a guest as himself. I mean, he was played himself on the show, and
Well, he played Marty Funkhauser, but yeah, he had his personality.
oh yeah, I
Yeah.
guess more like himself, like not Super Dave is what I meant. And he just, again, with that deadpan, he's so awesome, and he could use his foul language on that show where he had to curb it, on other ones, no pun intended. But I'll miss him.
Yeah, he was just excellent in everything he did, and it's just so weird that he was Albert Brooks' brother. It's like, I don't think they talked much. I don't think they hated each other, but I don't think
Yeah,
they were friends.
I got that impression too. I don't know why.
Because like when somebody would ask him about the other one, they would just be like, "Yeah, he's my brother." So
Wonder if they did that on purpose. I mean,
it could be it'd be something like one of their sticks for sure. So, but Super Dave was in kind of an 80s and 90s, but he was based on Evel Knievel. And I was watching YouTube videos on him, and I think one of my first memories was when he jumped like 14 buses. I mean, because I saw the video and I was like, in where he went up the test ramp and he stopped and then he put his thumbs up and they go, "Oh, he put his thumbs up. That means he's going." And I could remember that. So I think that's one of my earliest memories because I, and then when they had the Fonz do it on Happy Days, it was obviously he was doing Evel Knievel. I mean,
Oh yeah, with
yeah.
what was his girlfriend's name? Was it Pinky Tuscadero or something like
Exactly.
that?
Yep, yep.
Or was that on Grease? I can't
No,
remember.
that was his. Yep, Pinky Tuscadero and Leather Tuscadero were on the Happy Days. Yep.
Yeah, that's what it was. Well, yeah. And I had a total crush on her. She was a babe. Now, with the Evel Knievel, I think that began or was in the very fetal stages of like slow motion video to accentuate. They did that when he landed that jump. They would slow mo that, and you could like see his bones breaking
Oh.
and. His arm, both arms and legs, and his ribs, and I think they found his spine like 30 feet away. But it's up there in the top five slow-mo videos of all time, along with Bigfoot, that video where he's kind of, and the skier, the agony of defeat skier. I think they've
Got
got to
it.
be in the top five, those three.
And those three videos, I think, were all right around 69. I know Bigfoot was 68 and Evel was 69, so they're all right in there. And yeah, that Evel Knievel video, the Caesar's Palace jump where he kind of misses the ramp, and he looks like Super Dave's mannequin. He looks like a doll. He just looks like a doll because his body just starts bending in all these directions. And he was.
Yeah, and your brain can't, like, it's like when Joe Theismann broke his leg.
Yeah.
For a second there, you're looking at it like that's not supposed to. Oh, I get it, I get it, I get it. Ouch. Your brain just can't conceive it. And that jump he lands, and things are just, oh, it was just, it's bad.
And he had that, I mean, he was jumping a Harley Davidson and it barely had, I think what caused that whole accident is it didn't have enough suspension. I mean, for that jump, I
Oh,
mean,
that's what he said. Yeah,
it just didn't
exactly what
grab
he
the
said.
ramp because it didn't have enough suspension to grab it. And oh, and
He
he
said
looked.
he had some drift too on there, and I'm thinking to myself, how can the inertia of a probably a thousand, 500, 600 pound motorcycle with another maybe 150 pound guy on it flying through the air have any wind drift? But
Yeah.
He had said at one point that he had some drift on that jump.
Well, and then now I wish I knew there's another stuntman that tried to do it like 15 years after that. And he did the same thing where he missed the landing ramp to the right. And he had claimed that somebody moved the landing ramp overnight.
Yeah. Let's
And
just fuck with this guy
yeah,
and,
move the landing ramp.
well, let's just take on the liability and here, take a picture of me moving that ramp. He'll love that. He'll love that. It's all in fun.
And that thing with Caesar's Palace is like all three. I watched like three people, like eventually Robbie Knievel successfully jumped it. But you know, they have those cement pillars. It didn't have a landing zone. And that's with all Evel Knievel's jumps, like he would always run out of landing zone like really fast. Like we'd have to go through some. It was like
Yeah,
stopping his bike was the most dangerous thing. It was like almost, yeah.
I wonder if I always wondered this. It's probably so, but wouldn't you think you'd have practiced that jump a million times out in the desert somewhere
Yeah.
over, 55-gallon drums or whatever the hell it is, so that you know you can stick that you if you if everything is perfect, you can stick it. Something always happens though when they get to that jump. It's
And
probably the guy you're talking about. He's like, let's move the
they didn't have any foam,
ramp.
you know. Now you watch these X Games where these motorcycles do these three backflips and these BMX bikers and these skateboarders do like eight flips. Well, they practice in foam pits. Evel Knievel didn't
Know
have
that.
foam pits to practice on. I mean, he had to stick every practice landing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and didn't he say, or I think part of his thing was that he had broken every bone in his body at least once or something like that?
Yeah, I know that Caesar's Palace one, he broke like over 40 bones. And he, like you said, he punctured both his lungs. And then he
And
died
his
at,
liver?
yeah, and he died at, he lived late. I mean, he lived to 76. Just think how many years he took off his life, too.
I know.
But he had like, what do you want to call it? Lung pneumonia, something with his lungs. And I bet you that was from the time that he punctured him so many
From the
times.
well, and from probably smoking
Smoking,
or
yeah.
emphysema or whatever that thing is where the asbestos gets in there or whatever the hell it is. But it's always funny how that happens where your neighbor, you see him out there running every day. He's got a washboard stomach. He's got a totally chill job. He's out there playing with the kids, and he vapor locks and has a heart attack at 51. And then a guy like this is like 76 with a cigarette in his mouth, jumping a fucking bike over 50 buses, and he lives to 70 some years old.
Yeah, he's got the Keith Richards genes or the
Yeah,
Ozzy
exactly.
Osbourne genes, yeah.
Oh man, it's just capricious how that is, but that's the way it is.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around. But those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead you?
Who'd have thought they'd lead you?
Back there where we need you.
Back there where we need you.
Yeah, the teaser might not, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Mr. Kata. Do you remember which character said that, guys?
The Jewish guy?
Yeah, it was Hor it was Horse Shack.
Mr.
Horse Shack,
Kater.
right?
Yeah, Horseshack, yeah. I think he just passed away.
He just passed away, and didn't he have a role later in life, or am I making that up? I thought he had another role when he was old.
I don't know. I
Yeah.
know John Travolta is a Scientologist.
Who had a bigger career, John Travolta or Horse Shack later? Just kidding.
I've heard, and it might have been from you, Mike, but I heard that Gabe Kaplan was kind of a stud. He was funny as hell, and he was smart, and he was fast. Was that you that was telling me that?
Yeah, we kind of covered that on our last podcast.
Right, yeah, that's right. He's fast.
So, I don't know if Brian froze on us. You still there, Brian?
I'm still here. I'm letting you guys get your stuff in early so I can take over the show later on.
Well, So we are talking TV themes, as you might have guessed by now. And I like you were saying, Brian, what about binging TV now? I mean, do you think?
Well, when you stream TV now, most people, just to be able to watch the shows faster, will skip the theme songs, the opening credits, and stuff like that. Whereas, being children of the 70s, you had to watch it live.
We didn't have that luxury.
Yeah, so you had to watch the theme song, and theme songs were recognizable. You'd play outside, you wouldn't have a watch on or anything, so you wouldn't know when your favorite show was starting until you could hear the theme song coming through the window. And it's the only thing that gets you home faster than your mom using your middle name while calling for you was hearing your favorite TV theme song.
Oh, that's funny.
And that's a good point. Do you guys think that, I don't know, is the TV theme song, because now I'm the last person in America, I just started watching Ozarks, and it's just an O comes on the screen, and it just goes, ooh, and that's it. That's the whole theme song. And then Breaking Bad, my favorite show of all time, just had that little 5-second theme song, that little boom, 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 whatever. So do you guys, do you think the theme song's dead, or is it still alive and well, or?
If you're watching it on TV, even in syndication, when you're watching like Cheers or whatever, they don't do the intros anymore in syndication. On first run they do, but not syndication, is what I've experienced.
Yeah, and I think even when you watch Friends now, I think they, well, this might be a good thing, they kind of speed up the theme song, and it's just like, I've played it twice speed, it seems like it goes by a lot faster, the opening credits and stuff.
Yeah, because then they can get 30 seconds more advertising in.
That's true.
All right, so let's go through some of these classic themes back in the day when the themes made the show, a big part of the show. And I think we decided Jim was going to pick first.
Okay. I want to do my best ones first. I'm going to go with My Three Sons.
My Three Sons, starring Fred McMurray.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So we start out with is that 50s or 60s? I think that's early 60s.
I think it was 60s, actually.
Yeah, early 60s, maybe.
Yeah, early mid-60s.
Okay. That's a surprise. That's a good deep pull.
Well.
Brian looks like he maybe may have had that on his short list. I don't know.
Right. Like I said, I did have one show from the 60s. I have one show where the theme song debuted in 1937, but we'll see if I have to dig that one out.
Watch you.
So, Brian, you got the next pick. Go ahead.
Oh, my all-time favorite theme song that I've been flirting with, putting it as my ringtone on my phone, is the theme from Sanford and Son, the old Quincy Jones classic.
That's damn. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, the thing about that theme song, the genius of it is, it for whatever reason it makes you think Junkyard. I don't know why, but it's just,
yeah, you think of that car, that 48 Chev pickup.
Yeah, rust colored, and it's kind of disjointed songs, a little bit of bass to it, and it just makes you think of a clattering heap rolling down the road and getting ready to go see Elizabeth.
I've got one that rivals that next time around.
Okay, so, I'm also going to go 60s here, late 60s. I'm going to go with the theme song to the Monkees. And
hey.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the Monkees. And people say we're monkey around. We're too busy singing to put anybody down. We go where we want to, do what we like to do.
The thing about, yeah, Hey Hey, We're the Monkees, I love the theme song to it. I love the opening. It's kind of almost like a ripoff of a Beatles video. I mean, they weren't called videos back then. But I just love the music to it, and I love the scenes. And then I think the TV show starts, and I think it's absolute unwatchable. I think the TV show sucks, but I think the theme and the opening credits are really amazing.
Well, you said it was kind of a ripoff of the Beatles song. It's kind of a ripoff of the Beatles band.
Yeah, the Monkees. Yeah, I think they were kind of supposed to be a parody of them, maybe. Yeah.
And they got popular, though, because there was some talent in there.
There was some talent, yeah. Like, they had Neil Diamond wrote Then I Seen Her Face, and he wasn't Neil Diamond yet, you know. And, yeah, I mean, it makes no sense to have an English lead singer, and then I think the rest of the band is American, and they didn't really explain that part, but... Or maybe they did in the first episode. I think the show was pretty
unwatchable. Never watched it past the theme song.
Yeah. I love the theme song, and then the show I thought was largely unwatchable. I don't know, but I thought they were a good band. I thought they had a lot of Last Train to Clarksville. I thought is a great, great song. Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right.
Okay. So then I think we're back to you, Jim.
Oh, all right, Brian. The one that I've got going that sort of fits in with yours is the theme for Marty Miller.
Yep.
That bass line at the beginning.
That was fantastic. My parents were big Barney Miller fans, so that we'd watch that, and I just loved that bass line to opening it up.
Yeah, and I got Gabe, what's the guy's name? Abe Vigoda. I got his autograph on his 143rd birthday.
He did he die during Barney Miller? Or did he live all the way through that one?
Oh, he lived until like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he left to make the show Fish. That's right. I knew he left.
That's what happened, yeah.
And was Bill, and I think, is that where Billy Crystal started, was in Fish, or did he start in
Soap?
He started in Soap. Was he not on Fish? No, he wasn't in Fish, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack Wu, and he had Ron Glass. He had Abe Vigoda. And you had, what's his name for Barney Miller? I can't remember.
Hal Linden.
And Wojciechowicz,
who was in, I think he was in a soap opera recently. He was still acting pretty recently. He still is, maybe, a soap opera. Yeah.
That's cool.
So, okay, Brian, what do you got?
All right, so then debuting in 1979, sung by the incomparable Waylon Jennings, it's the theme to the Dukes of Hazzard.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, yeah, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will.
Damn it!
Oof.
Shit.
That is good, yeah. Weezer does a good cover of that too.
Oh man,
with Waylon's voice is fantastic. He's long gone. He died when he was about 60, 61. But his voice is just fantastic.
Yeah, but it would have, you know, because back we talked about this a couple weeks ago. But there was a time when guys like Elvis and Waylon and the Jerry Lewis and all these guys, Johnny Cash, they were all on the circuit together, and they all knew each other. And then when they broke off, it seemed so hard to imagine, you know, Elvis hanging around with Waylon Jennings or whatever. But they all played right out of Nashville. those years. So good pick.
Yeah, that was a good pick. Was that show on Friday nights? And then they had some good theme songs that I kind of forgot.
Dallas.
I think they led into Dallas.
Into Dallas, which had I don't know if any of us are going to have that on the list, but that was a huge
thing. There was that Incredible Hulk in there, too.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Dukes of Hazzard, then Incredible Hulk, and then Dallas?
I think you're right. And Incredible Hulk had the, when he'd go hitchhiking, I think of the outro, not the intro. I can't remember the intro theme song to that, but I think of the outro when he'd go hitchhiking in the rain, Bill Bixby, and they would always play that saddest music ever. That,
yeah. It was like one note.
Yeah, and they made fun of it on Family Guy, but that was a, yeah. He'd go hitchhiking and always hitchhiking in the rain at the end of the thing.
You could do an episode of topics from the 70s and 80s that they've made fun of on the Family Guy.
Yeah, that's pretty much everything. Okay, so it's my turn, and I got to, before one of you guys steal it, I got to go with one of my favorite 70s shows ever, WKRP in Cincinnati.
Baby, if you ever wondered whatever became of. Cincinnati, WKRP. Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me were never meant to be, just maybe think of me once in a while.
We're living on here.
And do you know that song was written by one of the song show's producers that never wrote a song in his life, and he found out that you get $500 per play, so he wrote a song for it, and that's pretty good money back in the 70s. You get $500 per play, and then do you guys remember the outro song? That little, it was just a nonsense song, and everybody's trying to figure out the words. Where it's always like, "Hey, bartender, blah 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 blah." And it's just nonsense. It's just, he's like, and the monkey's got fleas on the telephone or something. It's just, that's all the word lyrics are. They're nothing. They're just nonsense. But it sounds like he says, "Hey, bartender, can you wait something or something?" That's what everybody thought they said. But
who sang that song, the intro, that you were just talking about? Do you remember his name?
I don't remember his name. He was, I wrote down all these the names of all these other, they're all kind of nobodies, all the songs I wrote, all the singers I wrote down here. But,
my favorite part was as they're leading into it, they're like changing on the radio dial, and you're hearing little snippets of something before it hits on the radio dial and it starts with the theme. And it's the favorite one is it's like it must be a news show. And it's like the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated at the time, could not explain his nudity.
Yeah, that was just classic. Yep. Classic. And yeah, that was great. And then if you ever get the chance to listen to the full, because they kind of put it on the radio because it got so popular, but the later verses are very good, and they just kind of played the first verse on the TV show. So that's one that's good in long form. Okay, so then that brings us back to you, Jim. What do you got?
Guys, I'm really sorry to do this to you. I'm going to crush your lives and dreams and hopes right now.
Okay, let's hear it.
The Rockford Files.
Solid pick. Yep.
That guitar solo the guitar solo at the beginning, the guy wasn't even using a pedal. He was playing that song clean. And when that song came on, it was time for me to go hop in my dad's lap, because at like 4 or 5 or whatever it was, we watched Rockford Files every week. Every week. He was solid.
Yes, very, very strong. Very strong, yep. Yep.
Did Brian pass away or what?
I'm being the record keeper and writing your picks down.
Oh,
I think you're just stealing all his picks because I know he had a I know he had a 1970s strong list there.
That was very heavy 1970s.
Did nobody else have Rockford Files?
I had just listened to that here before we came that and the and another one that I'm not going to mention in case I have to use it.
No, but mine, I almost kind of had like categories, so so you'll figure it out later. But now it's up to Brian. Brian, go ahead.
All right, so I'm going to go with one that doubled as a movie theme and a television show theme, and that's Suicide is Painless, the theme song to MASH.
I had that on my list. That was
That's just obviously MASH was a huge show, and I was able to start watching it about halfway through its run and all the way to the end. And that theme song was just
In the beginning, where they're showing that woman just booking her ass down to the chopper, you know, sticking flies off there, just booking her ass there. That was such a cool theme song. But they used such a downer. I mean, the Korean War.
And it was one of the movie producers. He said, he goes, I can't write lyrics to this. So he handed it to his 14-year-old son.
Robert Altman's son. So his son made like $100,000 off it or more.
Off Suicide is Painless?
Suicide is Painless. Because there's lyrics in the movie version.
Yeah. Oh. And he wrote it when he was 14.
He chose an instrumental.
And you can
remember Robin Thomas that lived down by you, Mike. His sister, his oldest sister Lisa, was in choir and had to sing that song solo. Otherwise, I wouldn't have ever known any lyrics to it. But she would sing that "Suicide is Painless," and it was such a downer.
Well, the music, it is an instrumental on the TV version, but you can kind of hear it because they're going, oh, hi. They do kind of say "Suicide is Painless," yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a happy number. So let me move on.
Keep bringing the light like, since 1970.
Okay, so
like, all the songs I was doing were like way out there on the periphery. So I wasn't thinking of famous ones.
So I must have some kind of rock and roll theme going because I picked the Monkees first, and then I picked WKRP, which was a rock station, and then next I have Bosom. Which was not sung by Billy Joel, but the guy sounded it was Gary Bennett was the vocalist, who's I think a nobody, but it sounds exactly like Billy Joel, because you know when you buy those songs you have to pay a lot of money to have the artist sing it, but you can sing it yourself for a lot cheaper, or you can just make a generic song. And I think that's what happened, because when it went to syndication, then they changed the song to Shake Me Loose, which was sung by the show's creator, which I don't think was an anything song.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When they used that song, they had to pay royalties every time they sang it. So why not just chip in the extra couple bucks and use the Billy Joel version? You got to pay royalties anyway.
Yeah, but I guess it's a big difference if you have a nobody sing it versus having the original artist.
Yeah. I'm sure, yeah.
But I'm sure Billy Joel still made money off. And that, and once again, as with My Monkeys, I think the beginning was great when, you know, they're playing baseball up against the steps and stuff. And then I think the show was pretty un like nobody realized they were the those girls were guys. I mean, but okay.
Oh man, it was just funny. And you know, Tom Hanks is so freaking cool about it because people bring it up and he never like disses that show
Yeah.
because not only did he give him his start, but he just, you know, he made friendships that have lasted his whole, you know, his whole career. So he's always really regal about it. He doesn't like put down that show at all.
Well, one thing about that show is it was they how they improvised. It was kind of like, you know, the days of Robert De Niro and Taxi Driver, where he was improvising dramas. So they just kind of went and did a comedy with where they're just kind of making up the lines as they went along. So that's pretty groundbreaking. Okay, so that brings us to you, Jim. What do you got?
I'm gonna go with another periphery with the theme song from Greatest American Hero.
Oh, I had that on my list. Okay.
Look at what's happened to me. I can't believe it myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It should have been some.
Yeah, love that song. Richard, what was his name? Cat, William Cat or Cat? I don't know why that show didn't go because it was funny. It really was funny,
I agree.
and I can you can go online and watch it. But that song was just cool, you know, cool song.
Yeah, another radio hit. I went on to be a radio hit for, and they still play it, I think, on oldie stations.
Probably.
Yep.
Probably. All right, Brian, up to you.
All right. So one of my favorite shows debuted in 1981, and it ended up having two theme songs. There was the first year, there was an instrumental version, and then there was a second version. I think it's called Best of Friends for the second season on. But Simon and Simon, it kind of had that bottleneck guitar in it, real upbeat, and there's like an explosion and they're driving the truck through the mud and all that fun stuff. I like that show with Gerald McRaney on it, and I know Tim Reed, who had been in KRP, was on it.
That's a solid pick.
So
Solid
I
pick.
didn't realize that. So the first year was just instrumental, huh? Huh. But it was the same song, but they just added lyrics then, or?
So it was a different, I guess it was a different version of it. It was like the first year was more basic, but it's kind of a fun beat to it, and then the onwards it added a saxophone and bottleneck guitar and kind of punched it up.
Okay.
Solid pick.
Solid pick. All right, so I guess I'm kind of so with my pick, how many more picks we got left? Are we on five here?
You would have two more to go, and then Jim and I both have one left.
Okay. So I got another song that was a big hit on the radio, Mr. Jan Hammer, Miami Vice. I know
Oh, yeah.
that's a show you guys will never let me talk about, but I could do a whole series on that show, so I could
I
do a whole
love that
podcast.
show, dude.
Does
Well,
your brother like it too? Because then maybe you two could get on there and talk about it, and I just would sit and listen, kind of like the Star Wars episode.
the director of a lot of those, Michael Mann, is my favorite director of all time. And the thing about him is that every movie he's ever done has the best music to it. He always has a really good soundtrack. And I'm trying to think of him now, but that one with Tom Cruise where he was driving around Los Angeles, the hitman. with Jamie Foxx as a cab driver.
Yeah, I can't remember what that one was called, but I can picture it.
Well, then the one with Al Pacino and Russell Crowe, where Russell Crowe was the whistleblower of the tobacco industry. That was a Michael Mann joint and others, but awesome director. Well, that's a great pick.
He did Heat.
Yes, another great one.
Yeah, the thing on Miami Vice when they did what turned TV into movies, or I remember people going, is this a movie? Was when they had Phil Collins on and they did In the Heat or In the Air Tonight. And that.
Fry?
Yep, Glenn Fry.
Glenn Fry was in there. He just passed away.
Yep, he was in. I thought he was the old ex rocker. And then I looked it up when he was on Miami Vice. He was 39 years old. Pretty young.
He played
a washed up rocker on there. Yeah, that's what he played. Yeah.
And Phil Collins played like a weaselly drug dealer or something like that.
Yeah, he played the role pretty good. He looked like a little weasel, yeah. But that was a good musical. Yep. And then they play, you like Dire Straits, they played my favorite scene ever, Out Where the Buses Don't Run. At the end, they played Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits.
Yep.
So
that's the only thing I listen to in my car is Dire Straits' greatest hits. And then that he did an album without them, you know, doing songs from it. So I'm listening to all that stuff right now. I just love Mark Knopfler and try to study his guitar licks, but can't.
Last pick here now? We're starting the last round?
Earl Scruggs. Yeah. Yeah, I think I got one left, and I'm going with Night Court.
Oh, that's a good one.
Ooh. You like the sax and the bass lines from Hollow Show.
Bass lines, yeah. I do. I like the bass line.
Yeah. I can dance to it.
That's a show where it was, you know, Cheers came on first. And sorry if one of you guys has Cheers, but they go hand in hand. Because it was Cheers and Night Court on Thursday nights, I believe, NBC. And that just was a cool show. Funny as hell show. And it was kind of a takeoff of Cheers, because Harry Anderson, or whatever his name is, was in a lot of the early Cheers as Harry the Hat. He was a con man type of thing. And he played the same sort of thing on Night Court, because he was an amateur magician in real life, but he wanted to work that into everything he did. And he passed away not long ago too, sadly.
That's true, yeah. So so then we go to Brian. Brian's last pick.
All right, so I have a whole bunch that I'm... Mike, why don't you go first, because then I want to finish it up.
Oh, you don't get to splurge. Come on now, play fair.
So perhaps the most recognizable song of the 70s, the 80s, Saturday morning... It's called The Merry-Go-Round Broke Down, and it's basically the Looney Tunes theme song.
Huh.
Yeah, so, I mean, what Saturday morning was complete without hearing that, and then having your Lucky Charms, which is, I came up with my favorite breakfast cereal from the 70s, and that's how you started off the weekend.
That was last week's episode.
You know, Brian, when you brought up like separating the Lucky Charms, you had the Luckies and then you had the Charms, the marshmallow Charms. That was a solid take on that, because I think everybody who ate that cereal or any cereal like it did that. I did it with Count Chocula and Boo Berry and the other ones. Any marshmallow cereal did that too.
Well, you can tell the people that have willpower versus the ones that don't, because it'll be the ones that'll... You try to eat marshmallows out first.
Yeah.
They don't have willpower. And then there's those of us that would save them for the end and be rewarded for our patience.
Dude, when I was in jail, They gave us Cheerios, Wheaties, or Corn Flakes. I think we're the only three we ever got. And we got no sugar.
Did they give you saltpeter with it?
Me?
Did they give you saltpeter with it? Keep you from getting erections?
Huh? That was basic training. Yeah, that was down in basic training. But anyway, yeah, Jill, you never got any sugar. You couldn't drink pop. But we had guys that smoked it in for us. So.
You'd think they'd have bigger problems than sugar, but okay.
Yeah, it wasn't sugar that I was putting in my body. Let's put it that way.
So I think we're down to the last pick, and then we're going to splurge over Brian because Brian went through and made a big list. So
I had some lists of ones that would be iconic too. But
so you want the bukkake then at the end?
Yeah, bring it on.
All right.
Michael?
So my last pick, I started out with rocks. Now I guess I'm kind of doing, this is a crime drama. This is a show that I love that we'll probably never get to talk about on here, but I'm going to go with the theme to The Sopranos. That's pretty.
It was not an 80s though.
No, it's not 80s. It's late 90s, but 90s and 2000s. Yep. Yeah. So I kind of cheated, but I knew because we'd never really get to talk about that show on here. So I think the theme was pretty iconic.
The other one that I wanted to just toss in there before we can talk to you on Brian is the theme song for that Dan Haggerty show where he was he lived up in the mountains with Ben the Bear.
Oh, Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams. I can barely.
Which was a total steal of that Robert Redford movie.
Was it the deer? No, not the Deer Hunter.
Oh. No, the Robert Redford movie where he marries the Jeremiah Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a total ripoff of that, but so what? It was cool.
Song from the 70s that I had on my list in case I didn't want to use the Looney Tunes was Happy Days. Happy Days is, Happy Days around the clock, basically, the Sunday, Monday Happy Days. The first season they actually used Bill Haley and the Comets' Rock Around the Clock, but I'm going to imagine that, as we talked about earlier, cost, might as well do your own, cheaper that way.
Trivia, what was that show a takeoff of?
Well, it's American Graffiti. That was a fantastic movie. Yep. I think that was a George Lucas movie in 73.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it was. Yep, it was before he made Star Wars, and it was. They both had Ron Howard in it.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend in American Graffiti was Shirley from Laverne and Shirley. I don't think.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yep, and then Chrissy Snow from Suzanne Summers was the blonde in the T-Bird at the end too.
Yeah,
we're getting all our 70s icons.
Yep, yeah.
All we need is Farrah Fawcett and I think that covers it.
You just need her poster. We'll have to do a whole episode on her poster someday.
Yeah.
We got to do an episode on like 70s posters. Cuz everybody had the Farrah poster.
Yep.
And I had the Michael Jackson poster.
Wow. Okay, we'll do an audio podcast on visual posters. That'll be pretty good.
Exactly. I have left, guys.
Okay, what else you got, Brian?
A couple theme songs, the shows. One was a spinoff of the other, All in the Family, where Carol Connor, James Stapleton, is it Stapleton or Singleton? Stapleton.
Didn't you already hear that one?
At the piano and sang it.
I thought you already did that one.
The recording cut out. This is some behind the scenes, inside baseball stuff. The recording cut out, so it didn't get picked up.
Oh. Okay.
This is like a second take. I know you're a first take kind of guy. You don't know how a second take works.
Jim's always good on the first take. Yeah. Okay, what else you got, Brian?
And then up to the Jeffersons, they're moving on up. That's a fantastic theme song.
Yep.
I don't know if that meets Mike's criteria of fantastic theme song, but then the show was forgettable. There was the Jeffersons had some redeemable stuff, some fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They had Lenny Kravitz's mom on it.
And then there was Different Strokes. Thought that was an interesting theme song. The Odd Couple. I like the Odd Couple theme song.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was music.
I think we covered that one too.
Yeah.
Somebody did.
And then another one for Saturdays. Now, instead of Saturday morning, this would be Saturday afternoons. It actually debuted in 1961, but it's The Thrill of Victory and The Agony of Defeat. You'd hear the theme song for ABC's Wide World of Sports and see the ski jumper just barreling off the end of the run, tearing down the sign, and it's like, yeah.
Well done. The globe.
That was one of those two. It's like you'd be winter Saturday, you'd be playing downstairs, and then you'd hear that theme music come on. You run up the stairs because you wanted to watch, you know, guys on skates jumping over barrels and you know, telephone pole tossing and all the other fun sports that they had on Wide World of Sports.
That was only supposed to be like for like one summer, and it was so popular they kept it going.
Yeah, I think it ended up having about 28 years. I think it went in from 1961, it went into the 80s.
You remember that show that was on like every Sunday afternoon, the Mutual of Omaha shit?
Yeah, Wild Kingdom with
yes.
Marlon, was it Marlon Perkins?
Marlon Perkins, yep.
Yeah. And Jim Fowler.
Yeah. I forgot about that one, but another show that you watched every weekend with your dad.
Yeah. And then there was ABC had that there's some Disney thing on ABC at night too. I remember that on a weekend.
What about do you guys remember the theme song to This Week in Baseball with Mel?
How about that?
Mel Allen in his voice. I remember that, but I don't know about the theme song.
Yeah, because he would. Maybe you're right. Maybe his voice was the best part of it, but it did have that underline that do do do. It was kind of like the Agony of Defeat, kind of a little bit like that song, but.
And it ended up on This Week in Baseball.
Yeah.
And then you had the football one where it would be Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
400 degrees below zero. Yeah. You know, that the Sobel, I think his name was Sobel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was Sable, one of the other?
Yep, Sable, yeah.
So during Monday Night Football, when they'd play the highlights of the games from Sundays, and you'd watch that, they had music that played over that, but I think it was like a Yes song. Like the.
Oh.
On what show?
So during Monday Night Football at halftime, they would show highlights of the Sunday games, and there was a song that played over the top of it.
That was like the best 10 minutes of TV because that was before ESPN, and you didn't see the other games until you went to halftime at the. At Monday Night Football.
Like a... Right.
Yeah, I think Monday ABC.
Yep.
And they'd always the Vikings highlights would always be the shortest amount of time they'd spend on too. So you'd watch like a 3-minute Dallas Cowboy highlights, and there'd be like 33 seconds of, you know, and Fran Tarkington scrambled for 33 seconds. Now on to the next.
But Howard Cosell would always say Sir Francis Tarkington. That's the only thing. Right. Yeah.
Surf. Yeah.
You know, he was able to get the respect of a lot of people, like Muhammad Ali and all those guys. They really genuinely liked that guy.
Well, Howard Cosell.
Just Howard Cosell, and like in that movie, Ali, kind of gave you a sort of an inside look, and actually, he and Muhammad Ali were actually pretty good friends.
Yep.
And he would call him and say, you know, you don't need to do this. You're killing yourself, Jim, you know. And it was kind of touching how they had a really good friendship. And then when the cameras were on, it was a whole different thing, you know, with with Ali trying to shuffle his toupee and all that stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, that's, and then when Howard Cosell, I think he worked right up to his death, didn't he? I don't think he ever retired. I think he just kind of died of old age.
But, you're right, yeah.
But when he passed away, I go, who's going to replace Howard Cosell? You know, how could anybody replace him? And I think we got the answer. It's like, I don't think anybody ever did. I don't think there's nobody close to that. No.
And it's, you know, the height of that show was like you said, with Cosell or maybe even, you know, John McMahon. And then you find yourself watching it a few years later with Dennis Miller. And it's just like, what the fuck is going on? Monday Night Football. You've got Dennis, you know, he's a funny guy. I love him. But, yeah. You know, what the...
No, they never recreated the magic of those first few seasons with that group of personalities. Don Meredith.
You had Summerall, and you had, Madden, I think, was on. I don't remember if Madden and Cosell were ever on together, but.
Madden did a lot of CBS's, like, Sunday calls.
I think you're probably right, yeah. But, anyway.
I think it was, like, Don Meredith and,
Oh, yeah.
Frank Gifford and Cosell.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, I think for theme music, ABC, their sports department just really had some iconic stuff all the way through. Wide World of Sports, Monday Night Football. I always like the Olympic theme. That one always gives me goosebumps. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just love that. Yeah.
I am seriously losing battery.
You're losing battery?
How much do we have left to go?
We can end any time now. We kind of went, unless Brian has more. Unless...
Don't have anything else to talk about.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around.